tuned in today.
Amen.
This is our first online. As long as the ordinances, the city ordinances are in place. And we hope you've tuned in. And just a couple of tips that we need you to be aware of is that if you, most of the songs in this songbook that we'll be singing over the next couple of weeks and months are, well, hopefully not months. Hopefully this is just going to be for a short period of time. But they're also online, so you can do it. And we heartily encourage you to sing and to say amen at home in your living room.
Yeah.
I think there's a way online that you can also respond to the message there on YouTube. And so give us a little message and let us know you're listening to us and check in. If you hear something good, say amen. If I say something you don't agree with, type in and say, I don't agree with that. You know, I don't know about that one. But give some response and hopefully we'll all be back together soon. Normally in the month of March, I'm in the book of James and I'm starting a new portion in the book of James that because of the change in schedule, I'm going to save that so I can take the lesson all the way through. And so for this morning, I'm going to study a passage out of the book of Proverbs.
Amen.
And so if you look at the book of Proverbs in chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 5 and 6.
Amen.
And so open your Bibles and follow along with me there. And this is what the proverb says, and it's very, very good advice, especially for our times. And it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. An amazing passage of scripture. And so why don't we bow our heads, you at home, bow your heads in your living room, and let's ask God to bless our time together.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your presence. We thank you, Lord, that even though a building may be shut down, your church is not shut down. We are still here. We are alive and well. We thank you, Lord, for your provision, for your watch care over us. And I pray, Lord, that while we are separated, we'll still be together in spirit. And, Lord, that you would bless this lesson, the preaching hour that's coming up ahead, all of our families, Lord, in different situations. I know that many are going through possible unemployment or already been unemployed. Some may be ill, whatever the case is, but we know that you're there for us. We know that you never leave us and you never forsake us, and we love you for that. And I pray that you would just bless this lesson now, and we give this whole service over to your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths.
Amen.
An incredible portion of scripture to study, and so we want to go through it and look and see, because there are some misconceptions when people read passages like this. You know, they may put some meanings in there that aren't really there, aren't supposed to be there. And so let's break down this passage in the next couple of minutes and see if we can get some food for our soul and some encouragement. And so what I'll do is I'll give you general outline of how I've got this passage outlined, and you can mark it down and study it more in depth. But we've got some considerations out of this passage that I want you to be aware of. And I want you to, this is the some of the things that we're going to consider over the next few minutes. We're going to consider, do we have sound? Okay, this one's not working. Okay. So let's put this up. We apologize if some of you can't hear us. I'm not going to repeat that introduction. You can just, if you got something out of reading my lips, then, you know, you can figure it out from there. But we've got some considerations. We have sound now? All right, well, we did. It was on, and you turned it off. All right. So, now that we have sound, this is not an exact science, I'm telling you. We
if you tuned in expecting a production like Joel Osteen, you ain't gonna get it in this church, alright? We're doing the best we can with the technology that we have, and so we're gonna continue on. So, if you didn't catch the verse that we're looking at, we're looking at Proverbs in chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6. This is our Sunday school lesson here this morning, and we've got some considerations out of this passage that I want you to be aware of that we're going to consider here this morning in our lesson. And these are the things that we're going to consider. I'll give you the list ahead of time. First of all, we're going to consider what is being asked of us. We're being asked to trust the Lord. We're going to look at some indication, we're gonna look at some implications, okay? And then we're gonna consider the extent of what we're gonna be asked to do. Because not only are we being asked to trust the Lord with all our heart, we're being asked to do it. I mean, we're not only that we're being asked to trust the Lord, but we're being asked to do it with all of our heart. And that's an interesting thing to consider. And then consider the consequences of what he's asking us to do. He says, lean not to thine own understanding. Then he asks us how are we going to accomplish this goal? And you accomplish this goal by acknowledging him in all your ways. Then we're going to look at some of the benefits of following God's advice. He shall direct thy paths. So we've got some good things to consider in our lesson here this morning. Hopefully it's going to encourage you and take you out of all of the problems and considerations and cares of the world. And hey, by the way, there's one other thing that we would ask you to do. If you're tuned into us this morning, if you have CNN or something else on the radio off on the side, shut it off. You ain't going to get nothing new in the next 10 minutes that you can't wait for later. We're going to look at what God has to say and block out all of the other junk in the life for this next hour or two. So let's look at that first consideration there in Proverbs in chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust the Lord. You ever really considered the word trust? Well, you know, if you look at a biblical definition of it, it says to believe somebody for reliability, truth, their ability, the strength to be able to put your confidence in someone. And I know that nowadays trust is not a trust is not a commodity that is very widespread right now. In fact, there's hardly anybody that gets on any news program, TV program, whatever it is, on the radio, in society, that makes a statement that you automatically believe. Isn't it true that right now, with all of the liars that we have in the world, that it is really difficult to trust anybody? It's hard to trust that man that's getting ready to sell you that car when he says, I haven't done a thing. By the way, if you buy a car with 150,000 miles and the guy says he's never done a thing to it, don't buy it. The dude should have been maintaining that car and been doing some things to it. But hey, used car salesmen are liars, right? They're going to tell you things just to sell you that car. An insurance salesman is a liar, man. I had a recent experience with some health insurance where they said one thing and then they came back later and they said something else. And I'm like, dude, you lied to me. You know, it was an outright lie. What you had on your paper, what you claimed, was not what you backed up. And so no wonder we get cynical. No wonder we get to the place where we just don't really trust anybody. We've been burned too many times. We've been cheated too many times. And yet, what God is asking us here, he's asking us to trust him. So, let's look at how we're going to be able to do that. Consider what he's asking you to do. In order to trust someone, you've got to be real familiar with the character or the person or the organization that you're asked to trust. And so, isn't it true that when somebody lies to you one time, your ability to trust that person after that diminishes greatly? We just don't trust people that lie to us. It's not what we do. We have learned, you know, if somebody lies to us once, then there's always in our mind something that says that he's going to lie to us or she's going to lie to us again. But what God is asking you is God is asking you to trust him. He's asking you to put your confidence in what he says. And here's the problem with many, many people is they take that cynicism, they take that experience, they take all of their experiences with other liars and they transpose it on God's character and they say, well, since I can't trust him, since I can't trust her, since I can't trust my government, I can't trust God either. And I want you to know that God is in a different category. God can be trusted, and it is to your advantage to learn how to trust the Lord. And another thing that you have to consider is you have to consider the past history with the person. So for those of us that have walked with the Lord for a period of time, then we have learned that it is advantageous to us to trust the Lord because he has come through on other occasions. I remember an experience that I had with a subcontractor, won't mention any names, but I would make an appointment with him and say, hey, I really need to see you on the job site at this particular time right here. Hey, I am going to be there. 15, I mean, I had a log, so I knew exactly how many times. 15 times the guy stood me up, you know? And I'm thinking, man. And so they call up and, hey, Rudy, is he good? Oh, no, I just said the name. Sorry about that. But so-and-so said that they're going to be there. And I said, well, I said, maybe they will and maybe they won't. Maybe they will and maybe they won't. I am so thankful that I don't have to say about God, my Lord, maybe he will, maybe he won't. I just don't know if he's going to back up his word or not. I know he says it right here, but I'm not sure he's going to back it up. Look, we have learned to trust his written word, what he says. This book here is different than the statistics that you're going to see out in society. It's different than anybody else. You can trust him. I'm telling you, this is what he's asking you to do. He's asking you to trust him. This is hard. I remember one time I was in need of, my work was kind of light. I was in need of some extra. And so one of the customers said, hey, can you take down this tree? The tree was close to 60 feet high. And I said, well, you know, what's the big deal? What, I mean, a tree. I mean, I can cut down a tree. It happened to be in between two houses. And I said, yeah, man, not a big deal. And so I figured what I'll do is I'll go 30 feet up. I'll cut the tree in half and then half of the tree will fall and then I can just start bringing it down from there. I didn't realize how different the world looks 30 feet up in a tree than from down on the ground. So I had two people and I had my son Samuel and I think Adrian was helping me and I had tied ropes higher up and I put one off this way and one off that way, kind of calculating it, you know, this tree is going to fall just in this direction. And so I said, guys, I'm going to start cutting this thing. And when I say pull, you guys pull as hard as you can in each direction. And they said, okay. So I'm up there getting set up. You know, it takes me a few minutes. So they're just standing there with the ropes waiting. And then all of a sudden these police cars pull up down the street and they start surrounding this house over down the street. And so Adrian and Samuel, they're like, and I'm up there going, pull, pull, huh? What? That tree started turning. It started falling. It destroyed the fence. And I was so thankful it destroyed the fence because it just missed the person's car next door. I trusted them to pull when I said pull and they weren't there for me. Listen, that may be the case with men, but it's never the case with God. Hey, let me give you a few verses here in our study. And maybe it's good for you to concentrate on a couple of these. Look at Psalm 56 in verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. You know, sometimes it's good just to vocalize that, just to say that out loud. What time I am afraid. We're not denying fear. We're not denying hard times. We're not simply putting our heads in the sand and denying that things may be bad for us at that particular time. But listen, this is a statement you can make from a hospital bed. This is a statement you can make in an unemployment that you can make. And it is good to vocalize your trust in God. Just to say it out loud. Look at Psalm chapter 40 and verse 4. Because by the way, he's asking you to put your confidence in him. This is what he's asking you to do. Look at Psalm 40 and verse 4. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. That's a blessed man who can put his trust in God. God has demonstrated his character. He's demonstrated his reliability. He's demonstrated his truth. He's demonstrated his authority. He's demonstrated his strength many, many times. And he's asked you to do this. He's asked you to put your trust in him. Look at 2 Corinthians. And by the way, I've got probably 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, just verses that I just pulled up that talk about trusting the Lord and the benefits of it. And so we could spend a lot of time reading those. Might be a good study. It's definitely something to get your mind off of other cares and the affairs of this life. But look at 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 and verse 7. Because I want you to know that he's asking you to do something by faith. He's considering, he's asking you to make this commitment to trust him regardless of what things look like on the outside. And in 2 Corinthians in chapter 5 in verse 7, he says there in little parentheses, he says, for, he says, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith. Now, a statement of faith goes something like this, that I believe what God says, even though I may not have physical evidence to back it up. I believe what he says. And believe me, if you can get to this place in your Christian life, where you can commit yourself to the Word of God and to what he says, then you're going to be in a much better place. So that's the first consideration. This is the consideration. Consider what he's asked you to do. He's asked you to trust the Lord. But we're going to escalate this a little bit. Because he's not just asking you just in a simple sense to trust the Lord. He's going to take it up. He's going to notch it up a little step further. Because look at the extent. If you go back to Proverbs in chapter 3. Proverbs in chapter 3. And let's escalate it a little bit. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Wow. You talk about a proposition here. You talk about a challenge. Because there are people out there that will definitely say, yeah, I trust him. I think he knows what he's doing. But practically speaking, they don't actually really trust him. And you know as well as I do that if you don't trust someone, you're going to have a backup, man. You're going to have something that, hey, I'm going to have a contingency plan just in case this person doesn't come through for me because I don't really trust him. But God's asking us to trust him with all our heart. And what's he asking you to do it with no reservations? Have you ever, as a kid, remember when we were kids, we would do that exercise where you would stand there or maybe even on the edge of a table or something for those that were really ambitious. And then you were supposed to close your eyes, hold out your hands, and then fall backwards. Remember that? And then everybody that was behind was supposed to catch you before they fell. You know, and what it was a demonstration of trust, you know, that you were trusting your fellow man. And, and something like that, when you stick out your arms and you're already in free fall, that is total commitment. You are completely 100% wholly trusting that that person is going to catch you. This is the level that God wants us to trust him in. Everything with all the heart. No reservations. Everything. And there is almost nothing else in life that we are really willing to do that for. We're not willing to pay 401k completely and wholeheartedly to supply for us. And what do they tell us to do when we're investing our money? You don't just trust in one company. Don't just put your stock in just one thing. Spread it out. Why? Because there could be a company go down and you're going to lose your money on that. But if you spread out your investments over a wide variety of companies, then you are going to, you're going to insulate yourself from one person falling and in that. But that's not the way that he's asking us to trust him. He's asking us to trust him. And this is a tall order. Because people are generally distrustful of what's in the Bible. They're distrustful of what Christians are saying. And I'm the first to say, I can't blame people for being distrustful. I can't blame people when you've got, in the 70s, there was a character and his name was Jim Jones and he had all these people duped and by the way, if you're ignorant in the word, yeah, you're going to be susceptible to somebody like this coming along. But he started giving these guys a line and started building his doctrines and started manipulating and actually got, I mean, and it's still even now, even though I lived through it, it was hard for me to believe that people were actually that gullible, you know. But they believed this guy and they all moved to Guyana and over 900 people died drinking poison Kool-Aid because they put their trust in a man. And so you look at things like that and you say, man, Christians are crazy, you know. There's no way that I'm going to trust a Christian. And yes, right. We're not asking you to trust us. We're not asking you to trust the church at Oak Knoll. We're not asking you to trust our character. In fact, we're not asking you do what I say and just trust that I'm giving you good advice. No, the Bereans were more noble because they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. We're not asking you to put your trust in us with all of your heart, no reservations. We're asking you to put your trust in God. That's good advice today. To put your trust in the Lord and to do it without reservation. And God is different from Jim Jones. He's different from David Koresh. He's different from the Hale Bopp crowd that wanted to go and get with a comet, you know, and any cult or organization that's trying to give you a line. God's different than that. And you gotta watch out for people because people are gonna put stuff in their doctrines that's not part of biblical authority. They're going to take things out of context. Men are going to try to drive you to legalism. They're going to try to get you to trust in their character and in their charisma. There's some men out there that think that they got special knowledge, you know, that God has told them something that he hasn't told anybody else. And believe me, if anybody ever tells you that, man, run! Run away! Because they're not to be trusted. I was looking at a program one time and this guy out of Dallas, he's talking and he's saying, I am the apple of God's eye and so are you. And he's just talking normal and I'm thinking, yeah, okay, I understand where he's coming from. And then all of a sudden he stopped and he put his finger to his head like that helps him to hear God better or something. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And then he started talking again, and then he stopped again. Well, yes, Lord, I'll tell him. Yes, I told you I would tell him. Thus saith the Lord, you know? And so, of course, you're listening to it, and you're going to say, how do you really know God talked to him? You don't know. They're charlatans, man. And they will take advantage of you as far as you'll let them. But thank God today, they'll financially exploit you. But that's not what this passage is telling you to do. This passage is telling you to trust the Lord with all your heart, without reservations. Then he's asking you to do something else. Consider this. Because he's not asking you simply just to trust the Lord, because that's one thing. It's one thing for me to get in a place where I will take everything of my being and trust somebody else with it. But then it goes even farther than that. He says there in the next part of the verse, I want you to consider something else. He says, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Lean not. Consider this for just a minute. Lean not to thine own understanding. That's a tall order. We've asked you to trust the Lord. We've escalated a little bit by asking you to trust in Him with all of your heart. We've escalated it a little bit further by leaning not to your own understanding. So we're asking you not only to put everything you've got into what He says, but we're asking you to take all of the contingency plans out. All of the safety nets gone. We're asking you to sail through the air like a trapeze artist with no net below to catch you if you fall. You say, man, that's crazy. There's just no way. But consider again who we're asking you to do this for. Not a man, not an organization, not a government, but the Lord. And I want you to look at a verse with me. Look at, it's in the book of Proverbs also. And it's in the chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. And look in verse 12. This is going to give you some a little bit of understanding of men's hearts and your heart. He says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Consider that for a moment. This is what we're trying to do. We're trying to get you to understand this. You felt like, man, this just seems like the right thing to do. And then you find out that you've actually deceived yourself. The plan didn't turn out. And the plan didn't turn out like you thought it was going to turn out. That things didn't work out. Or then you realize later on, man, it just seemed so right. And how could it turn out so messed up like it is? Well, I'm telling you, the heart is deceitful. Jeremiah tells us that. I'll quote the verse and you can look it up later. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? I had a person tell me, it's been on more than one occasion, but the one that I remember, I was trying to get a particular girl that I was witnessing to and trying to get her to understand, you know, her need of the Lord. And she said, no, I'm going to be all right. No, I really don't need all of that. I'm going to be okay. And I'm going to say, how do you think you're going to be okay? She says, I'm just going to follow my heart. I'm just going to follow my heart. Whatever I feel like, well, hey, I'm going to tell you something about my heart. I don't know if it's the same with your heart, but my heart has a feeling of a lot of self-destructive stuff. Yeah. And I'm not just talking about in my past life. I'm talking about recently coming off of a job site, passing two or three workers that got nice cold beers, and I'm thinking, man, a cold beer right about now, that'd be a good thing, you know? And you're saying, how can you even be tempted with a cold beer? You're a pastor, you know the dangers of drinking. I know the dangers of drinking. I've seen drinking destroy my dad and destroy my brother. I've seen other friends been destroyed by drinking. I understand the statistics, but I walked by men, smelled the beer, and thought, this is a good, man, just a beer after work, just to calm down, just to relax a little bit. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? We're not asking you to trust yourself or your own judgment. Get rid of it because you're going to deceive yourself. There are plenty of people out there that look at what God has to say and they're saying, but it just doesn't seem right. God says that anybody that comes to him, he will in no wise cast out. And that just doesn't seem right to us. It doesn't seem right that someone who lives as a good citizen in society, pays their taxes, takes extra food to people that are sick, watches out for their fellow man, doesn't drive above the speed limit, and in everything in their life seems to be a very good individual, and you compare that with somebody who has ruined their life with drug abuse and with theft, and with other crimes and wrong people and hurt people, and how you can say that one could come to God and be forgiven and the other come to God and be turned away. And it just doesn't seem right. We think that good people should go to heaven and bad people should go to hell. And that's our understanding. But you see, God says this is what he's asking you to do. He's asking you to lean not to your own understanding. He said, don't consider that. Consider the fact that God may just be wiser than you. That he may be smarter than you. That he may actually know what he's doing. I know that's hard for you to believe because we got a lot of organizations in the world. We're shaking our heads right now thinking, do they really know what they're doing? Do they understand? Are they all idiots? You know, we're just looking at that and we're seriously, these decisions that are being made, and yet we don't need to impose that kind of distrust on God because God's different. God's not a man that he should lie. He's not the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not said and shall he not do it? Yes, exactly. What God says he's gonna do. We are asking you not only to trust him, well, we're not asking you to do it, the Word of God's asking you to do it, to trust God, to do it with all your heart, to lean not unto your own understanding. It is a step of faith when something does not seem right, but you see it in the Bible and you believe it. I'm telling you, there are some distasteful things in the Word of God. The destruction of man, and I'm thinking in my mind, I said, that can't, man, but God knows what he's doing. You have to trust him. And by the way, these aren't options for a better life. This isn't a prescription to a more peaceful day. These are considerations. These are things that God is asking you to do, and they are actually not an option. This is a command. You are required to trust the Lord. You are required to do it with all your heart. And you're required to lean not to your own understanding. Whatever worldly wisdom says, go with what God says. Worldly wisdom will tell you to promote yourself. God will tell you to elevate others. There's a big difference. Worldly wisdom tell you to go and do whatever you can to seek the highest place. And God's wisdom tells you to seek the lowest place. Worldly wisdom will avoid using the Bible as a mirror to their soul. But godly wisdom will tell you to take a look at this and see what you really are. There's a big difference. Worldly wisdom boasts and it brags and it self-promotes. And godly wisdom does exactly the opposite. It's slow to speak of themselves. And yeah, we boast and we brag, but it's in the Lord. Oh, we do a lot of bragging about God. Worldly wisdom says trials are going to crush you. Godly wisdom says they're only going to help you and make you stronger. Worldly wisdom says it's a bad thing to be disciplined and you shouldn't discipline your children. And godly wisdom says it's a good thing that he has afflicted me. And so Christian parents that take that advice and they discipline up in many cases, of course it's not an exact science because children are human beings, but in many cases with children that know authority and are blessed and have a good childhood, you need to get to the place where you trust God. Don't lean to your own understanding. trust what he says. And I understand and I know that there's probably never been a time that God's ways have been more ridiculed than they are right now. Ridiculed and just. And listen, if you listen to that crowd long enough, they're going to start making sense to you. And that's a bad place to be in. Trust the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. So, we've got a couple of things in this passage that we've studied out so far. Some things that you can look at. And so let's, shall we escalate it a little further? Shall we take it a little higher? Let's look at verse 6, because it doesn't stop there. He's asking you to do something else and to consider something else. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Okay. We're stepping it up now. We've already trusted the Lord. We've already done it with all our heart. We've already taken away the safety net by leaning not to our own understanding. But then he's going to do something else. He's going to ask us in all our ways to acknowledge him. So this is not just a simply with all our heart deal. Now it's all of our life. It's everything in our life has to come under the consideration of God. Acknowledge. That's a word that means that you not only are recognizing the presence of something. There are several different aspects of it. First of all, that you actually recognize the existence of something. The way that we use the word acknowledge will be that maybe somebody was in the room, so-and-so walked into the room, and I did not acknowledge their presence. And this is called ignoring, okay? And sad to say, some of you that are sitting in your living room right now and listening to this message are guilty of ignoring God. And this is how that works. You know what God says. No! You know what the word says and you know what the expectation is, and then you do the opposite anyway. Maybe I'm the only one guilty of that, but I have a feeling that there may be one or two of you out there in TV land that is guilty. I knew what God told me to do. It was clear. It wasn't one of those ambiguous commands, and I didn't do it. You see, that's our tendency. What he's asking you to do, he's asking you to acknowledge him. How are we going to accomplish this lofty goal of trusting him? And that's by acknowledging him in all of our ways. Number one, that means that we have to recognize his authority. A very, very interesting and comical, in some cases, presidential election that we had this last time. It was one of the most enjoyable things to watch, that people that were absolutely sure that they knew what was coming down were then sorely disappointed when they woke up in the morning and found out that somebody else was their president. And what did we hear? He's not my president. That's got to be the stupidest statement in the world. You're an American citizen under American authority, under American provision, and then you cross your hands and just say, not my president. You know, I don't care whether it would have been just as stupid then for Hillary to get elected, and for those of us that were going for Trump, now you know who I voted for, but for us to say, she's not my president, what an idiot thing to say. It doesn't matter who's elected, there's a law in the land, and whether you make a statement or not does not change the fact. He was still your president. He is going to make recommendations. He has power that will affect you. Now, everyone out there that said that he is not your president, I want you to take that stimulus check, put it back in the mail, and send it back, because he's not your president. You don't deserve that check, okay? Just be consistent with that. Okay, but that's funny when it comes to human nature and everything, and I think it's a laugh now how people are getting on TV. Absolutely, 100%, I know who's going to... Man, we should know by now that you have no idea what a day is going to bring forth. You have no clue. 3 weeks ago, we weren't even considering this. 3 weeks ago, we were happy. Judy and I watched the YouTube video of the very last time we met together as a church. And I mean, a couple of people were kind of fist bumping a little bit. But man, they were just, I mean, just hugging and slobbering all over each other. And I'm over in the pulpit coughing into my hand, you know, and doing all these things that we had just no clue. Monday morning, Bill and I were on the phone. We got to meet. Things have changed drastically in one day. That's why you got to trust him. That's why you got to trust the one who doesn't change from day to day. Now's not the time to get anxious. Now's not the time to get fearful. Now's not the time to, now's the time to trust the Lord. He's got some things in his word. And now's the time to recognize his authority. Because it's one thing to cross your hands and say, well, he's not my president or she's not my president. It's another thing entirely to say, he's not my God. He's not my God. You say, well, nobody says that. Oh, absolutely. I talked with a woman and she said, if God sends people to hell, then I will never believe in a God that sends people to hell. She said that. She believed it. She was convinced of it. And yet, did that change God's authority over her? Because God says tonight, he told a man who did not acknowledge God. He didn't acknowledge him. He didn't ignore him. Wasn't part of his life. Wasn't part of his plan. Wasn't part of anything. And this wasn't a lazy guy. This was a hard working man who provided for himself and had barns and had provisions. And he got to the place where he said, now I'm going to retire and I'm going to enjoy my goods and I'm going to eat and drink and be merry. And he had all his plans, and worldly wisdom will say, that dude is good, man. He knew what he was doing. But God said, tonight, thou fool, thy soul shall be required of thee. Tonight, you see, God all of a sudden exercised his authority over an individual. And that individual had no power against it. You have got to get to the place where you acknowledge him in all your ways. Do you realize God has authority over you? You belong to him. And that is a very submissive thing to come to realize that he has control over me. And listen, if he does have control, and he's a good God, and he has proved in his past his faithfulness, then what is the problem to acknowledge him in all your ways? It also carries the idea of gratitude. Anybody ever get an attaboy letter? Remember in the military, the attaboy letters? That, we want to thank you for this particular thing. You know, we get this letter, you know, it's got a little military seal on it. You're a credit to your service and to your country and to your unit and all that. Thank you, or whatever it says. And what it is a little piece of paper that just shows that your organization, whether it's the Air Force, Army, Marines, Navy, Coast Guard, whatever it is, that they are acknowledging with gratitude something that you've done. And so it carries the idea of gratitude also. Listen, we've got to get to the place where we say thank you to God more often. Amen. I am amazed at my ability to be able to descend into this pitiful complaining about anything in the world. And you think, well, what in the world have we been complaining about? Me and my wife. We're complaining just recently. What were we complaining about? We were sitting there complaining about all those greedy people out there that are wiping out all the stocks of toilet paper, and we've got to use leaves now. No, not quite that bad. But what were we doing? We're complaining about other people. We're complaining about this. We're complaining about that. And not that those complaints may not be justified, but when that is the core of your existence, man, no wonder your life is so screwed up. Hey, there's some verses out there. Look at, you need to reread Psalm 100. Psalm 100, what does it say? It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. I have actually heard people say, what have I got to thank God for? Wow. When you've descended that low where you can't figure out what you can thank God for, I'm telling you, you can thank God in the darkness of times. David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I'm telling you, you've got to get to this place where you acknowledge him. And how do you acknowledge him? You acknowledge him by not ghosting him, not turning a blind eye, not ignoring him, putting him first in your life, considering his ways, considering his authority over your life, considering the fact that he has given you good things, acknowledging that by praying and thanking God for the things that he's done. Maybe we just need to stop all this garbage for a minute in our brains and just say, thank you, Lord. Man, if you're meeting in an apartment today and you're kind of keeping the TV a little low because you don't want to disturb your neighbors, why don't you turn it up when we're singing and sing at the top of your lungs and let other people hear you praise the Lord. Everybody else is like, oh, when's my stimulus check coming? Oh, when am I going to get toilet paper? When am I going to do these things? And the Christian should be in his abode going, the Lord is good. His mercy endureth forever. Let's give thanks unto his name. Acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. Listen, this is just the Bible study. Stay tuned for the preaching because it's going to be a lot better than this. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You don't have to worry where you're going. Let me make another statement. You don't have to know where you're going. Sometimes we want it all mapped out for us, don't we? When I was considering going back to college, and I really didn't want to, but people say, yeah, you got to go back to college so you can get a good job. I said, okay, well, if I study this right here, what kind of a job? And they're like, well, I'm not sure. Well, I don't want to study this and go through 4 years of college and then to get to the place where I don't have a job in the end. You know, I want to see how... I'm so thankful. You don't have to know. You just have to know who you're walking with. That's all you have to know. And I think of it from God's point of view. We got to walk with him. We've got to trust him. We've got paths that we are journeying with God. How can two walk together except they be agreed? So God's asking you to agree with him on this path that we have in this life. But consider this from God's point of view. Is God taking more pleasure in dragging a stubborn mule or leading a well-trained horse? Some of you are stubborn mules. You say you trust God, but really you're like, man, I don't know how this is all going to play out. God, do you really know what you're doing? I think I'm going to go over this way because I'm not so sure you know what you're doing. And God has to drag you like a stubborn mule, and you're resisting his ways, and you're resisting his authority, and you're resisting everything about him. And yet a well-trained horse just simply, yes, sir, no, sir. To see a dog, I saw a video of a guy that was walking like 10 German shepherds, maybe it was just 9, but but he was walking all these German shepherds. None of them had a leash, and everybody was going, wow, that's amazing. He would walk, and he would stop, and all the German shepherds would stop. And then he would go forward, and he would walk, and they would all stop. Sorry, got out of the camera right there. And I, you know, if a dog can do it, come on, if a dog can do it to a human master, can't you do the same thing with your Lord? In all thy ways, and he shall direct thy paths. So just a study for you today. And I want you to understand that this is the Word of God, and you put it into practice, it's going to make a difference in your life. Stay tuned, don't go away, because we've got some singing coming up, and then we've got another message for you out of the Word of God. Praise the Lord.